You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, lavishly luscious listeners. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 75, and of course, I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your medley of meddlesome medalists who meditate about medusoids.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
I'm Chris. What's a medusoid?
Glad you guys asked. Yeah, medusoid is a shape that resembles a jellyfish. Anything that looks like a jellyfish.
Right,
the tendrils Medusa. And stuff.
Yep. And today is episode 75.
What?
And that means we have an all quiz bonanza. Yay! For new listeners, every fifth episode we have a all quiz. We don't really have a topic or a theme. It's just a bunch of quizzes that we designed ourselves, and we're going to pose questions to each other and to you guys and have a ball of a time. Is that how you
ball
say
of a no, time.
Ball
no.
Of
no.
A ball.
No.
A time of a ball.
We're going to have a grand old time. We're going to have a heck of a time.
Yeah.
That'd be a good segment. It's like, what idioms do I not know?
I was reading an article just very quickly in the last week, and someone had a mixed metaphor that I loved. It was, well, it's too late to do anything about that now. The horse is out of the bag. Great, because there's cat out of the bag and horse out of the barn,
and they stable.
I love that. Well, the horse is out of the bag.
Oh yeah, and
that's a big bag.
Also in Eggcorn Watch, our favorite things being eggcorns or misheard phrases or misheard words. I saw somebody had a cardboard Mike Tyson standee on eBay, and he said it was a carboard Mike Tyson. CARBORED.
Carboard.
Mike Tyson standee. Yeah.
Let's start off our All Quiz Bonanza with our usual trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. Everybody got your barnyard buzzers. We're going to play some Jeopardy again. No Trivial Pursuit cards yet. I'm sorry. But
Jeopardy has proven kind of popular, though.
Yeah.
Okay. People are writing a lot of fan fiction. A lot of Good Job Brain Jeopardy fan fiction.
Whoa.
Oh, whoa. Yikes.
Hello, Mr. Trebek.
All right. And this week's category is... Boom, boom. The Emmys.
Okay.
TV shows. This be everybody's strong suit.
Okay.
All right. $100 question. In 1989, Diane English won an Emmy for the pilot episode of this Candace Bergen series. Form of question. Colin.
What is Murphy Brown?
Correct. All right. $200 question. This Lara Flynn Boyle Dylan McDermott legal show won for Best Drama in 1998 and 1999. Colin again.
Was that Boston Legal?
I guess that is a form of a question.
Yeah, that's a question. Yeah.
I already am off the rails. I cannot keep it straight. Was it Boston Legal?
Incorrect.
Oh. I do not know.
It is The Practice.
Okay. The other one.
Yes. For $300, David Hyde Pierce has won multiple Emmys for playing this Frasier role. Oh, I think that was Dana.
Who is Nigel Crane?
No. Incorrect.
Who is Niles Crane?
Niles.
Niles. $800 question. Dan Cast...
Dan Castellaneta?
Yes. Dan Castellaneta won an Emmy for voiceover for the Mr. Plow episode of this series.
All together.
What is the Simpsons?
Correct. All right. Last question. For $500, the Ken Burns series about this war won a 1991 Emmy for Outstanding Informational Series. I think you expect everyone to get this one.
Yeah. What is the Civil War?
Correct.
Okay. So,
I knew what the Ken Burns effect is. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
That's like if you see a lot of documentary or even in TV shows or in PowerPoint presentations, it's an image, like a static image, but it automatically kind of moves around and zooms in and out, so it looks like it's moving, but it's really a static image.
Oh, I see. So, like, they can do narration over a static image and just move it subtly, so you're
sort
still,
of a slow pan
you still know
or
you're watching TV.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay.
So that is known as the Ken Burns effect, because, I guess...
When you're making a documentary about something where there's very little moving footage,
like
you know,
the Civil War.
I mean, he talks about it. Yeah, it's like, you gotta make still photos work.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Good job, brains. All quiz. Oh, God. What is this? Number 14? Number 15.
Amazing.
15. Wow.
All quiz bonanza number 15. Who wants to go first?
I'll kick it off with a quiz about cocktails.
Ooh. Hey. Cleanse the palate.
That's right. Nom. Loosen it up.
Are you chewing a lot of your cocktails?
She's just smacking her lips.
Yeah. Far be it for me to question.
Yeah.
All right, I'll start it out with maybe one of my favorite drinks. Which drink gets its name from a Tahitian expression meaning out of this world? Karen.
Mai Tai.
Mai Tai. And Mai Tai was invented where?
In,
Colin?
Oh, I'm going to guess it was invented in Oakland.
Yes.
Oh.
It was invented
in San Francisco. Really? Huh.
Yes, at Trader Vic's.
Trader Vic's.
Oh,
yeah.
Big tiki establishment.
Yep.
Another perhaps tropical drink. This drink shares the name of a beach and iron mine near Santiago, Cuba, and was Ernest Hemingway's favorite cocktail.
Oh, great.
Karen.
A mojito.
No.
Oh.
Wow, that was
a good
my
guess.
Guess
got served.
It's not the Cuba Libre.
No. It is a daiquiri.
Oh.
What?
It shares its name with a beach and an iron mine.
Huh. All right.
And then this drink enjoyed renewed popularity in the late 1970s and early 80s when it was part of the subject of a song by Rupert Holmes. Karen?
If you like pina coladas.
Yes. Pina coladas. Escape the pina colada song.
Yes.
Wait, who sang that song?
Rupert Holmes.
Rupert Holmes.
Yes.
One hit wonder.
That's going to come up.
That's true.
Yeah. This drink is also originally from Cuba, and the name was derived from an African word meaning cast a little spell.
Is that mojito?
That is mojito.
Oh.
I wonder if it's like mojo and then
ito.
Mojito.
It must be.
Yeah.
Must be.
A little bit of magic in a cup.
That's great.
A rusty nail is a shot of scotch, a half shot of Drambuie, and a lemon twist. There's a Canadian version, which uses Canadian rye whiskey instead of scotch whiskey, and it's named for a Canadian actor. Mm. Which actor? What is the name of the actor?
Oh.
If you ordered a rusty nail in Canada, what actor would
All right, let's see. Who's Canadian in drinks?
Yeah.
William Shatner.
That's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
It is not. I wish it were. It's not. Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
He's Canadian?
Yeah. So now we're moving into the speed round. I'll give you some hints about the cocktail, and you tell me what it is, or you tell me what the ingredients are in it.
Okay.
What's in a Greyhound?
I've never heard of this.
No.
That's vodka and grapefruit juice?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
What's a gimlet garnished with?
Lime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's a Gibson garnished with?
Gibson is cocktail onions.
Yes.
That's what makes it different from a martini.
Uh-huh.
And what makes a dirty martini dirty?
The Chris? Presence of the olive juice.
Yes, olives.
Yeah. I just put my thumb in it.
And don't wash the glass.
Don't tell me how to make drinks, Karen.
I just spit in it. You want it dirty?
How about a Moscow Mule? What's in a Moscow Mule?
Vodka and ginger ale.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Lime juice, too.
Yes.
But yeah. How about a Harvey Wallbanger? It has vodka, OJ, and what?
Oh.
Bonker's name.
I used to
Harvey.
Is it sleeping pills?
This is like one of those drinks that you order once just
DayQuil?
Because
it's from the 50s.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I'm going to pretend like you're a madman.
Is that what you
DayQuil.
Said?
It's Galliano.
What's that?
It's a weird
designer.
Alcohol.
Oh, okay.
No, it's in a really tall bottle. I read this and I believe this is true. I didn't research it fully, but I'll just tell you what I read. It was that the bottle's really tall, and they called it a wall banger because you had to really secure it to the wall.
Got it.
And so I think it's true. I didn't look it up again, but I was like,
It's a good tale.
The original cocktail, as defined in 1806, contains what? ingredients? What makes a cocktail? We can just kind of list them.
I'm going to guess something with whiskey. I'll start there.
We'll say spirit.
Okay.
Spirits.
All right.
So I said spirits.
Maybe a fruit juice of some kind?
I can't give you that.
Soda water.
Yeah. Margarita mix.
Spirits, soda
this
water.
This is 1806.
A little tears.
Yeah. Boogers.
Yeah. So I couldn't give you fruit juice.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sugar.
Well, what's the list?
Spirits, sugar, water, and bitters.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Last one. This drink I really love, but it's kind of gross, but it's really good to me. It's a creme de menthe, creme de cacao, and fresh cream. Karen.
Grasshopper.
Yes.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the grasshopper ice cream.
Yeah.
Well, I think isn't that based on the grasshopper pie? That's all based on the drink, I think.
You're probably right.
That makes sense. And they have the little grasshopper cookies, which are the year-round fake thin mints.
I've actually heard exactly what you're describing called the Dirty Girl Scout.
Well, that makes sense.
It's like a thin mint.
But, you know,
it's alcoholic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depends on what level of bar, what establishment.
That's true.
If you're at, like, the White House inauguration bar, you may want to ask for a grasshopper.
You probably shouldn't ask for a grasshopper,
you
though.
Period. Yeah.
No.
You have to.
Be classy.
Yeah. When you're at the White House.
Keep your wits about you.
Yeah. I know.
Okay, well, I've decided to bring back a past segment that I like to imagine was popular.
All right.
I'll pretend it was popular.
Yeah. I think we'll be the judge of that.
I think you will be the judge of that.
Yeah.
It is time for another installment of What's the Difference?
What's the difference?
Come on down and play What's the Difference?
Okay.
I will present to you guys pairs of things that are either commonly confused for one another or may have subtle differences that you're not aware of. Tell me, what's the difference?
Okay.
What's the difference between prison and jail?
What?
Jail is when they're just, like, holding you somewhere for a short period of time, and prison is when you've been sentenced to, you know, 20 years in prison and you're there for a long term.
Yeah, that is generally right. Sometimes you've been sentenced to something that's, you know, typically under a year. You know, you may serve a few months sentence in jail, but yeah, it's also for holding people awaiting a hearing on the way to some other legal proceeding, and prison is if you've been sentenced to something that's more serious, which generally is over a year of time.
So it's really the offense or the length of time that is the difference, or is it the actual facility?
It is.
Prison usually is like, you know, a whole different.
They are absolutely different facilities.
Okay.
And then beyond just the time and the seriousness, jails are usually operated by cities and, you know, police forces, whereas a prison, especially the United States at least, a prison is state level or higher level. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So if you had to be in one place, you'd probably rather be in jail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's the difference between concrete and cement? Once again.
Okay, so I believe that concrete has, like, mix-ins, like a cold stone creamery. Uh-huh. So concrete has, like, is cement with, like, gravel added into it, basically.
Yeah, right. You got it exactly right. Yeah. So cement is like the binder, is the stuff that you mix up. You know, it's like Portland cement. You mix it up with water. When it dries, it's
rubber
firm
cement.
And solid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in and of itself, it's not enough to build things out of. You add things. They call it aggregate, I have learned in the industry. Yeah, as Chris said. It's
I like mix-ins.
Yes. I like your cold stone analogy. That's perfect. That's what it is. So cement is the ice cream, and the aggregate are sand, typically, or gravel, or large rocks. You mix it in, and that makes
or
it stronger
bears.
When it's set.
Yeah.
Wow.
Concrete and cement. What's the difference between a hurricane and a typhoon?
Oh, man.
And I think we've touched on this one indirectly in a previous show. Dana.
So doesn't it have to do with, like, proximity to the ocean or something? Like, if typhoons happen in the middle of the ocean, hurricanes, something like that.
You're in the right family. Chris?
Is typhoon a rainstorm and a hurricane is just wind?
So they are the same weather phenomenon. They are identical phenomenon. They're tropical cyclones with winds over 74 miles an hour. Okay. Typhoons are in the northwestern Pacific.
Oh, near man! Asia. I was going to say, as a joke.
Hurricanes are in the northeastern Pacific and the Atlantic.
Gosh darn it.
Yes,
I was going to say that as a joke.
So, Sandy, Katrina, hurricanes because it's Atlantic.
Right. In the U.S., we get hurricanes because we have the Atlantic and then we have the Eastern Pacific.
Yeah.
And in Asia, if they make landfall in Asia, they are typhoons. But they're the same phenomenon. They are tropical cyclones, right.
Just only difference is geographical.
That's right. Just where they happen to occur over the ocean.
And of
just
course,
naming convention.
As we know from way back in the history of Good Job Brain, the word typhoon comes from...
Japan!
Japanese. Yep.
Yes.
Means great wind.
What's the difference between jam and jelly? I think that was
Chris.
That was
Chris.
So jam is like whole fruit that's been preserved or fruit that's been mashed up, but jelly is the... It's juice with gelatin.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm trying to think of a word that means the liquid that comes out of fruit and failing.
That's right. Yeah, they're both ways of preserving fruit flavor, but jam has actual fruit or fruit pulp in it, as well as, you know, sugar and pectin and things like that. Whereas jelly is just made from the juice, as well as the other things. And they're prepared similar ways. And it's not a totally arbitrary distinction. You know, the FDA, for example, sets very specific guidelines on jellies as distinguished from jams and other types of fruit preserves.
Well, tell me this, Colin.
Well, now hold that thought, because I have a bonus point question.
Oh, okay.
This may be your free bonus point. For a bonus point, what's the difference between jam and marmalade? Well, you should know it. Go ahead. Karen, tell us.
Marmalade, I believe, is for citrus fruits.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So orange, lemon.
Orange, lemon, lime, citron. Grapefruit. I mean, anything. Yeah, grapefruit. And usually has the rind put in as well. So just last week, I don't know if you guys went out at night and saw the Perseid meteor shower.
No.
It comes every year. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. If you live in an area that has a clear sky, you go out and it's a meteor shower. And it's just really entertaining.
I know.
So I would like you guys to tell me.
No.
What is the difference? This is a three-way, what's the difference?
Between, or among, I suppose.
Sure.
A meteoroid and a meteor and a meteorite.
Right.
And each of them has a very specific
name. You're like a savant.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to get this right or not.
Yeah.
A meteor is a big piece of rock that's hurtling through space. A meteoroid is a piece that breaks off of it and you see it falling. And then a meteorite is when it's actually on Earth and discovered.
You're very close.
Okay.
You're very close. You flip-flop the first two.
Oh,
And I'll get... There's an easy way to remember this, too.
Okay.
So, all right.
Hey.
Yeah. So a meteoroid, yeah, as you say, so out in space, just chunks of rock or debris flying along. Those are the meteoroids when they're out in space moving along. And you can just remember...
Any difference between meteoroid and asteroid?
Size.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, asteroids are huge, enormous. Okay. Meteoroids, you know, generally top out around a few feet.
But they can be as
small as a grain of sand.
Right.
If it's out there, floating around. Yeah. So just think meteoroid, asteroid. Those are the ones that are out.
Hemorrhoids.
When it hits the atmosphere and starts glowing, so it's in the phase that we call like a shooting star, falling star, that is when it is a meteor. And so like when we talk about the meteor showers, it's because those are the things you see, the little cool, pretty glowing trails. That's the meteor phase.
And that's because it's burning up on re-entry, basically, or on entry.
Yep, it's burning up. It's usually losing some material.
Right. Okay.
And then, as Chris said, you correctly, if it makes it to the ground,
one
if there's enough
three.
Left, that is the meteorite.
Okay.
So if you're picking something up, that's a meteorite. All right, we'll close it out here with one last culinary question. What's the difference between black pepper and white pepper?
Oh!
I think it's all the same thing, but the peppercorn has a little white grain on the inside and then black coating on the outside.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. That's right. Mm-hmm. They're the same thing. They're peppercorns. They come from the same plant. They're the same thing. They pick the black peppercorns a little bit earlier. When they dry, the outer skin turns black and they leave it on when they grind it up. White pepper, they let ripen a little longer. Then they take the outer layer off.
Oh, and they set the inside.
And then they grind up the inside. Yeah. But they come from the same seed, the same plant.
The white pepper is a little stronger, right? I
mean, yeah, it is generally spicier. Yeah. They say aficionados on the internet. White pepper is a little bit spicier, but lacks the nuance and subtleties of a black pepper. Yeah,
really.
Yeah. All right, good job, guys. That's the difference.
Yay! All right, my turn, and I have a music round.
Right.
A little bit of a twist. So I was listening to some Chinese pop music the other day, and was just kind of reliving, you know, my childhood and teenage years. And then I was like, oh my God, this would be a great quiz segment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I didn't know this growing up, but a lot of the pop songs in Asia, they're songs in Chinese, you know, Cantonese or Mandarin, but the song itself is actually a foreign language song. And they did this a lot.
So they write new words to the melody?
Yeah, they would just write in the native language and then an existing song. But the thing is, I didn't know that. So it wasn't until I moved here, I'd be like, oh.
And you would hear the original.
I would hear the original English version and be like, I had no idea that growing up this other song was a cover version.
Okay.
So my music round is...
I like it already.
Is, how do I describe it? It is international foreign language covers.
I love it.
Of... Mm-hmm. English language cool. songs.
All right.
But the difference is, it's not just, you know, someone covering some other song. This is released as a whole different title and released as a whole different single.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the melody and parts of the song is...
So it's not released as like, oh, the localized version of such and such song. Yeah. It's just, you have no idea of the connection.
Yeah. Unless you look at like the songwriting credits or something.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to play clips of these foreign language songs. And before I'll tell you what language and maybe the title of the song, even though that doesn't really help. And listen to see if you can identify the English language song and identify the artist, the original artist of the song.
All right.
How's that?
All right.
Good? Cool.
All right. Sounds a little complicated, but...
No, it sounds fun.
Okay.
Let's do it.
And for the first one, I'm going to play the song that I was actually listening to that inspired me to make this quiz.
幼稚的马尖但表情彼此表情悄悄地暗示这是冷静到时直到目前我爱你你也爱我这到你过去也听我说过 Oh man, what is it?
Is the song, is it Silent All These Years?
Yes. Colin, yes, Silent All These Years. Who sings Silent All These Years? Big hit.
Who was Silent All These Years? Who was that? It wasn't Suzanne Vega. Was it Kate Bush? Was it
later?
Who was
later.
It?
Was it Sarah McLachlan?
Tori Amos.
Yes. Of course.
I was like, I know this song, but her singing is messing it up. I can't hear what it is.
Well, and number of times I've heard the Chinese cover of Silent All These Years, one. Number of times I've heard actual Silent All These Years, zero.
Okay.
Really? So that was Fei Wong, very, very famous superstar, and the title of the song is Cold War, but based on Silent All These Years.
That's great.
All right. Next one. This is sung in Greek by, pardon my pronunciation, Alkistis Protostalti.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Not bad, a Greek pop star.
I don't speak Greek or whatever, no way of legit. Judging that. That's good to me, yeah.
And the song title is All That I Fear.
Okay.
Translated from Greek.
Oh, God.
Data. Right.
Is it Nickelback?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Your face. What song?
I could sing probably the chorus, but I don't. I've been down. To
this
the bottom
is
of the.
How you remind me.
That's it. Yeah.
Remind me.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think they're,
that's
their
great.
first big hit for Nickelback.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's great.
This is one that is not a direct cover, but you can tell by the song is there, but the melody is a little bit different.
Hmm.
And this is Japanese. This is from Japan.
Hmm.
By Dragon Ash, and the title is Grateful Days.
Okay.
Here's the song. See if you can recognize the what's being sampled.
All right.
Okay. の道歩き見てきたこの街渋谷六本木。
Oh, Dana.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes. Today.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
By Smashing Pumpkins.
Good,
that
good
little
call.
Lube.
Yeah, the little guitar intro. Great.
Awesome song. I love this Japanese rap version. All right, here's an oldie, and this is by Adriano Celentano in Italian. Italian translation of the title is I Will Pray.
Io lo so perché tu la fede non hai. Ma se tu lo vorrai, crederai. Non devi odiare il sole perché...
Colin.
That is Stand By Me.
Correct.
By Ben E. King.
Yes.
Whoa.
I, for the longest time, I thought it was Benny King, like Benny Hill. Mm-hmm. It's Ben E. King. Very good. All right, another Asian language one. This is by Big Bang from Korea. Also another hip-hop kind of rap thing. See if you can identify the background song.
Okay.
Of course, Dana. Of course.
This Love by Maroon 5.
Correct.
I knew it, like two chords in.
I can name that foreign song and two notes.
All right. So this last one is a little bit of a twist. So there's a big hit in America and all in English language countries, I'd say, in 1994. And this is an R&B song. It was really popular. And this song was actually based on a foreign language song. So it's kind of reverse. What I'm going to do is play the original foreign language song and see if you can identify the 1994 song and the artist.
Okay.
That was a cover.
Okay.
That was an English language cover. And the original version is Japanese.
Okay.
Chris. Well,
so the song itself is called Sukiyaki.
Correct.
Yeah. What else do you want to know about it?
What artist or what group sang that song in 1994 that made a very big hit?
Oh,
right.
It was actually covered a couple times. It was covered in 1980.
Yeah, because it was from the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
Who was that? Was that like Jodeci or somebody
like
that?
All for One. No.
Who was it?
4 p.m. 4 p.m. sang the song, and let me play a little clip of it.
I do not know that was a cover.
Yes.
That song has a really weird history. It became popular in the U.S.
Yes.
With the title Sukiyaki, which has nothing to do with the original lyrics.
No way. Covered in 1981, and they just called it Sukiyaki because it's like, well, that's a Japanese term.
Sounds Japanese.
Right, yeah, that's basically it, yep.
Very good job.
Very enlightening.
International music round.
Very neat.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
And we're back. You're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week is our all quiz bonanza number 15. Everybody has a quiz segment, or more than one quiz segment, and we're quizzing each other and quizzing you guys and having a good time.
Who's next?
Having a
good
ball. Having a ball of a time. So maybe a lot of you guys like us are nerds, and so perhaps the launch recently of Disney's probably biggest video game ever, Disney Infinity, may not have escaped your household. Maybe you're buying it for your kids, maybe you're buying it for yourselves. And so I decided that since Disney Infinity is out this week, it's this huge video game that lets you buy figurines of Disney figures, and they connect with the video game, and so whatever figure you buy, like Lightning McQueen from Cars,
will show up in the game.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, Mike Wazowski from Monsters, Inc., the figurine magically shows up in the game, and it seems to be flying off shelves now. So I did a little Disney Infinity quiz. So every answer to this quiz is going to be the name of a character that shows up in Disney Infinity. So these are characters from very popular Disney movies. We're not sponsored in any way by Disney Infinity. I just had Disney on the brain. And this is a sort of a backwards Disney quiz, because the questions, most of them have very little to do with Disney. The answers may be homophones or of the Disney character name. So think not only Disney animated films, but also live action films that Disney may have
got done it. In the past. So the answer sounds like is the name of a Disney character.
Exactly.
But not.
Yes. Okay, got it. Yes. All right. Yes. Yes. All right. Here's one question that actually is just a straight up Disney question. This Disney character was played by Craig T. Nelson, TV's coach. Karen.
Mr. Incredible.
Mr. Incredible, that's right.
Coach.
Oh, what's his name? I think he had a name.
Bob Parr was the name of it. Yes, exactly. The middle sibling character on the TV series Home Improvement. Oh. Dana?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
That is the
the
middle sibling character.
What was his
character.
Name? Randy?
Randy.
Yeah.
Randy Taylor.
Oh, from Monsters, Inc.
From Monsters, Inc. The
Steve
the chameleon.
Buscemi.
Yes, man. Yes, indeed. All right.
That was in my brain somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? See? Right. Good job, brain. A monkey with two E's.
Oh,
Karen.
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones, yes.
That's good. That's good.
Also a character from Pirates of the Caribbean. The nickname of a U.S. Airways pilot who successfully landed a flight on the Hudson River in 2009.
Oh, I was too excited.
Yes, Sully.
Yes,
Sully.
Yes, Sully.
Sully Sullenberger.
I could see Colin so excited. I was like, but I know it too. I'm just going to beat him to the buzzer.
We're getting harder. The color at the highest end of the visible spectrum. The color at the highest end of the visible spectrum. Dana?
Oh!
Violet?
Violet.
Yeah, from Incredibles.
From Incredibles again, yes. I call this my graduation speech opening question. Random House defines this as a group of symptoms that together are characteristic of a specific disorder, disease, or the like.
Whoa.
It's a medical term meaning a group of symptoms that together are characteristic of a specific disorder, disease, or the like.
Cars. Must be like plural.
It's diagnosis.
It's not a plural. It's one word.
It's a character.
It's a character. Yep.
Who was the bad guy?
Karen.
Syndrome.
Yes, syndrome.
I was just gonna say who's the bad guy from
Incredible.
Also from the Incredibles.
We're coming
I figured
out from
you were gonna get that. All
right. Yes.
The type of wood used in Harry Potter's wand. Also a character from Cars.
Which
dragon?
Ash.
Birch.
Ashen first with the phoenix core.
Something. Yeah, it's not the phoenix core. It's the type of wood in Harry Potter's wand. It's a
flexible.
Also a type of maybe berry.
Holly.
Juniper.
Holly.
Yes.
Holly
is a character from Cars. We Didn't Start the Fire, Eagle is the name of a Billy Joel song followed by the name of a bird. Now, if you were to use a different bird in a different song, you would get this Disney character's name.
What?
Now, if you were to use a different Billy Joel song, and a different name of a bird, you would get this very popular Disney character? Dana?
Piona Man Flamingo.
Big Shot.
Uptown Girl Robin.
It's from a live action film. How about that?
Crow. Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Sparrow. Not.
Yes.
We didn't start the Fire Eagle or
Piano Man Flamingo.
Piano Man Flamingo.
I like Piano Man Flamingo.
So earlier when we were asking about the birthplace of the Mai Tai, I could tell Dana had just a special flash of pride that was from Oakland.
I did.
Because Dana was raised in Oakland, her hometown. She is a proud Oaklander.
Wait, an Oakland person is called an Oaklander?
An Oakland person is called an Oaklander.
Oaklander. Oaklander.
Yeah. And in fact, that is an example of a demonym. So the demonym for someone from Oakland is Oaklander.
As in demographics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And name. So I have a quiz that I've put together for you guys all about demonyms from around the world. Okay.
Aren't they like Durs and Eves and Ites?
That's right. Those are definitely the most popular. And of course, as I'm sure you guys know, there are always some just oddball ones around the world. Okay. So we're going to get educated today.
Right.
And so we're going to start easy. I think you guys will get a little bit warmed up.
I smell a hard one.
We're going to move into several hard ones, but I don't want you guys to be disappointed because if you know these, you really, really have been studying demonyms, which is a sad commentary because that's what I was doing.
Or we
if you want to hear that I've heard, you know, going way back when I was a kid and kind of just remembered like, oh, I got to stick that one away for future.
I kind of just
reference.
Go with newspapers.
Yeah,
like a lot
that's
of
right.
Newspaper. They're called. You know,
that's right.
Like,
that's right.
Whatever.
New Yorker, Bostonian.
Yeah. So those are a couple great examples. Yeah. Someone from New York is a New Yorker. Someone from San Francisco is a San Franciscan.
Mm-hmm.
Dana, as we established, is an Oaklander. I'm from Los Angeles. Do you guys know what someone from Los Angeles is called? Chris.
So Los Angelino?
Yeah, Angelino or Los Angelino. Personally, I prefer Angelino. So we're going to go through here very quickly. I will give you the name of the city somewhere in the U.S. or around the world, and you tell me what you call someone from that city.
Okay.
What do you call someone from Paris?
Parisian.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What do you call someone from Boston?
Bostonian.
Bostonian, mm-hmm. Yes. What do you call someone from Seattle? Karen.
Seattleite?
It is Seattleite. Yeah. It is fun to say. There are a few ites.
Satellite.
Yeah. Satellite. Seattleite.
Denverite as well. Dallasite as well. Yeah.
This sounds like medical.
It really does.
Like Dreitlite.
Got a case of Denveritis.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. What do you call someone from Berlin?
Oh.
Is this a Berliner?
Yes, it is a Berliner.
Is that a donut?
I'm Berliner.
There is a lengthy dispute over that.
Yes, of course. Yes.
What do you call someone from Florence, Italy?
I'd say Florentine?
Correct, Florentine.
Oh! Like the obelisk.
Like many other things, right. And a lot of these demonyms have...
Florentine.
Yep. And sometimes they've taken turns where there may be an adjective you only use for foods or things like that. And other times they are the same as you call a person.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call someone from Venice?
Venetian?
Yes, yeah. Venetian. Like the blinds.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say like the casino.
What do you call someone from Phoenix? Karen.
Phoenician.
They are Phoenicians, yes, which
like
I like.
Greek school soldiers?
Yes, like the ancient Phoenicians, right. Mm-hmm. What do you call someone from Amsterdam?
Yeah.
Karen?
Dutch?
That would be the nationality. Someone from the city would be an Amsterdammer, which is fun to say.
Yeah.
Amsterdammer.
What do you call someone from Edinburgh?
Oh, Scottish.
This one's fun to say. They are an Edinburgher. Yes.
Edinburgher.
I could go for a delicious Edinburgher. Yeah. Just to really make it clear, someone from Hamburg, Germany, is a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone from Frankfurt is a Frankfurter. So those would probably be the two most classic examples of the food.
Indeed.
We'll stick with the food for a minute. What do you call someone from Naples, Italy? Karen.
Neapolitan.
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 Yes, like the ice cream and
pizza.
Many other things.
Pizza style.
Yes, Neapolitan. What do you call a person from Jalapa, Mexico?
Jalapeno.
They are a jalapeno.
So cool.
Like the famous peppers.
Is it from there?
Yes, the peppers take the name because they are from Jalapa, Mexico.
Because a lot of the peppers come from the region names. And,
absolutely. What do you call a person from Moscow? Chris.
That is a Muscovite.
Yes, that is a Muscovite. Okay. What do you call a person from Glasgow? You may have heard this one. This is a fun one. Someone from Glasgow is a Glaswegian.
Whoa.
Yes.
Glaswegian.
Huh.
What do you call a person from Sydney, Australia? This is a good one. I think you'll either know it or you won't. A person from Sydney is a Sydney cider. A Sydney cider.
Sydney cider?
Sydney cider. Sydney like S-I-D-E.
Oh, Sydney cider.
Sydney cider. Yeah.
This is one of my favorites that I learned way back coming from a family of Beatles fans. Mm-hmm. What do you call a person from Liverpool? Do you guys want to all do
same
it together?
Time? Yeah, okay. Liverpudlian.
Yes. Liverpudlian. Certainly, some of my favorite demonyms come from England. And I'll give you guys a couple more here very quickly. Do you guys know what someone from Manchester is called? And a lot of the old English ones have Latin roots to them, maybe not surprisingly. So they sound very Latin in style. Someone from Manchester is Mancunian.
Whoa.
Yes.
Like a man raccoon.
Yeah.
Manchester.
just roaming the land.
Manchester.
Mancun.
Someone from Newcastle is a Novocastrian, which
That's
you can
awesome.
See the direct wow. connection yeah. to Latin oh, yeah. there. Yep, Novocastrians from Newcastle. All right, and we will close out here with a couple. One of these we actually had in pub quiz, and we got it wrong. So I will lead in without it. The question was, I'll go backwards. The question is, someone who's called a porteño is a resident of what major South American city? And we didn't get it. It's Buenos Aires. So this is one where it's very little to do with the name of the city. Yeah. Uh-huh. So Porteño is someone from Buenos Aires.
But why is it named that?
Well, it's a port city. And in fact, there are a lot of port cities where sort of on a smaller scale, people from the port city would be Porteños. But in South America, if you say Porteño, people will know you mean from Buenos Aires. All right. And this last one, what do you call someone from Rio de Janeiro? This is a good pub quiz one.
Wow.
Carnival.
It shares the name with music and dance. You may have heard this term. No, is it carioca?
Huh.
Carioca is a resident of Rio.
Carioca.
Oh. Yeah. So it's a little trip around the world, and I hope that some of those come up in pub quiz.
Hmm. Joe Carioca is the name of that South American duck in like Three Caballeros.
Yes!
Green
one?
He's the green, the
green parrot.
Toucan, I think, or the parrot, yeah.
Ah, is Joe Carioca.
Joe Carioca.
Well, yeah. There you go. He's from Rio. So I had asked you guys before the show for your hometowns, just to verify. I knew that Dana, obviously Oakland, and Karen, Taipei, you consider your hometown. Unfortunately, a lot of cities are just residents of city name.
Uh-huh.
There is not a really cool demonym for Taipei. I apologize.
No. Yeah, I was like... Mm. Taipei
Nor
resident.
Is there a really cool demonym for North Branford, Connecticut,
no.
Chris. I apologize.
Branfordian.
North Branfordians.
I did, however, find some interesting stuff about what people from Connecticut like to be called. There
oh,
are
really?
Some terms. I read Connecticutian.
That's what I always
heard. I read Connecticutter. And, of course, there's Nutmegger.
Yeah, you hear a lot of Nutmegger. Yeah.
So I have another quiz for you guys. This is, I don't want it to feel like homework, but it's a little bit like, it's a little reminiscent of high school homework.
If we didn't really secretly like homework, we wouldn't be doing this podcast
That's
in
true.
The first place.
It's true.
So, yeah, it's okay.
Benefit of the doubt, I'm sure we knew the answers to these questions when we were in high school.
Once upon a time.
There was a point in our lives where this knowledge resided and helped, but it's gone. And it's clear that it's gone because every time U.S. presidents come up in trivia, we almost invariably get it. Embarrassingly wrong.
It makes sense that in pub trivia in America, of course, U.S. presidents is something they really ask about, and it's filled with trivia.
And they'll drop it in, like, you know, the ninth president, also known for farming cabbages or whatever. And like, it doesn't matter if you know anything about farming cabbages, if you just know who the ninth president is. Yeah.
And I used to know all the presidents. There's only 40-something of them, you know,
right.
But I don't anymore.
So this is a good way of saying we're going to fail this quiz.
Know what? Maybe... I try to put in some ones that we should get.
I think Chris will get most of them.
Well,
a lot of the
How
government
building
stuff.
It up a little bit. Okay.
George Washington took the oath of office in 1789 in what U.S. city? Then the country's capital. What was the country's capital?
Oh!
Well, so really, you're asking what was the country's capital?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was Philadelphia. Yes?
No.
No, I think the first capital was New York City.
New York City.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. And then it migrated to Washington, D.C., or what happened?
They built Washington, D.C. with the express purpose of making it the capital city.
It took a while, though. It was a swamp.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, make sure the politicians are not, like, corrupted by the big cities and like that. We'll move the capital to a swamp.
What president's economic and social programs were known as the New Deal? Karen?
Franklin D. Roosevelt?
Yes.
Yeah!
All right.
Yeah.
Before he was president, Thomas Jefferson was the ambassador to France.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
During those early years, Jefferson also helped foster trade with another key European country. What country? Besides France?
Is it the Dutch? Is it Holland?
No.
All right.
Italy?
New
Germany.
It doesn't even exist anymore.
This
Brittany.
Prussia.
Wow.
Several American.
That a lot of good that did.
I know. Which state claims the most U.S. presidents of any state? At 8.
I think it's New York.
Nope.
Is it Massachusetts?
Nope.
Virginia.
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 Yeah. They haven't had one in a while, but they did have a lot before.
Been lagging.
8. Yeah.
Which president is the only one to hold a patent? Karen?
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And I know this because my next quiz is about inventions.
That was a weird coincidence. Who was the only president to serve 2 non-consecutive terms in office?
I believe that was Grover Cleveland.
Yes. All right, last question. Who was the first president to be impeached?
So this is a trick.
Is this Andrew Jackson?
Close, but no.
Close, but no.
I mean,
right, around the same time.
The name is close to right, but it's not right.
Was it Hamilton?
You said Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
Andrew Johnson.
Andrew Johnson. Yeah. Okay, yes.
Wait, what happened? Why did he get impeached?
It was right after the Civil War, and there was like, there's just drama, controversy.
There was drama.
I mean, he did do some unconstitutional things, and then
that's a good though one pub quiz first to be impeached.
Yes,
yeah. And also that's thinking, a good trick question.
Yeah. Johnson.
Not too bad, you guys.
No.
We'll keep chipping away at it. Get better at history.
I was prepared for you to embarrass us a lot more than
I didn't want it to be too, because then it's just like, oh, okay.
I just know the common ones, like who used to, you know, someone was a peanut farmer. I was like, oh, Jimmy Carter. That's like a fact that's on Snapple lids and stuff.
Yeah,
I know. Snapple lid president facts.
I know. We're good at pop culture stuff.
Well, Dana, you kind of stole one of my questions from my next quiz segment.
Wow.
My original question was going to be, there has only been one president who has received a patent. Honestly, this president was just sick of his boats getting stuck in shallow waters.
Yeah, what was the patent?
The patent was U.S. patent number 6469 for a device to lift boats. In case if they get stuck in shallow waters. Basically, it's like an add-on floater or buoy in the boat that floated up so it won't get stuck. So my quiz is inspired actually by a listener, Jonathan, from Fargo, North Dakota. He is actually a U.S. registered patent agent.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And he sent me some cool trivia facts that I modified into a celebrity inventor quiz.
Wow. Nice.
All right.
If anybody has a cool job and has trivia about it, send it in.
Yep,
it's cool.
Yep.
Please,
I like this.
Do our jobs for us.
I know. Yeah.
This relatively awesome scientist came up with a shirt design that has 2 separate sets of buttons, so the shirt can still fit after significant weight loss or gain. Colin.
Is that Albert Einstein?
Yes!
Oh.
Is it my relative?
Yes.
Yeah. That was very cheesy.
That is really cool.
Yeah, so he designed kind of like a blouse vest and has 2 sets of vertical buttons.
Huh.
So.
Oh, you pick which buttons?
Yeah, on your skinny days, you choose one set. On your more bloated days, you can move so it's adjustable. All right. This boisterous magician and podcast host holds the patent for the idea of a hot tub with strategically placed water jets. Dana.
Penn Jillette.
Yes, Penn Jillette. Penn and Teller. Yes, illusionist and magician. U.S. utility patent 592-0293, which is for the Jill Jet, which is a hydrotherapeutics.
Yes.
Yes. There are a lot of celebrities who do actually hold patents because it's kind of related to their job or their work. So a lot of filmmakers and directors have a lot of camera crane and you know, very specific patents for those designs. So this list, the inventions are kind of not related to their jobs.
Okay.
So kind of just far out. So here's a comedian. He thought slot machines were too outdated and uninteresting. So his idea was for an electronic slot machine that would have animated rather than static symbols on the slot reels, including like birds landing on a wire and of course watermelons smashing to the ground. Colin.
Is that Gallagher?
Yes.
Gallagher holds the patent for animated slot machines.
For an electronic slot machine. A new take on the traditional slot machine, so that has animations. And it's really interesting because he really had the foresight, and he said this, and I'm quoting him. He said, there are generations of potential slot machine players who grew up playing video games with much more complicated computer-generated graphics.
Is he getting money from this patent or no?
I don't know.
I think the problem is that they've bypassed animatronic and they've just video display slot machines.
This Scream Queen actress, an actual baroness, invented a type of diaper that features a moisture-proof pocket on the outside that contains cleanup wipes. Dana.
Is that Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes, Jamie Lee Curtis, U.S. utility patent 475-3647. Is for the patent keeps saying infant garment. I think they're trying to be, you know, all encompassing. Sure. Really, it's a diaper with a outside kind of pocket compartment for baby wipes.
Ah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. However, this was back in 1987 when she filed it. She refused to allow her invention to be marketed until companies started selling biodegradable diapers. She didn't want to make a whole bunch of wasteful, disposable diapers. The patent expired in 2007, so now it's in the public domain.
So go ahead and put pockets on diapers, people.
Baby wipes on there,
Do it without fear of repercussions.
Inspired by an episode about human muscles from his own namesake show, this celebrity designed a new type of ballet shoe to help alleviate the massive amounts of pressure put on dancers' toes.
Phil Donahue. Dr. Oz.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Correct. Yeah. Nye the Science Guy received a patent for a special ballet point shoe. U.S. utility patent 6895694.
I'm curious if people use it.
That's what I was trying to find out.
Yeah.
The dancer's foot, toes, and ankle are subject to a force that is at least equal to the whole weight of the dancer.
And
that's why you see, like, from Black Swan or other, you know, if you know dancers.
It's tough.
Bloody toes in the shoes, and Bill Nye's like, oh, there must be a way to alleviate the pressure. I don't know if anybody uses it. I was trying to look for to see if what happened, but not a lot of follow-up with these patent stuff. All right, last one. This Canadian singer-songwriter, often parodied by Jimmy Fallon, is a co-inventor on 7 U.S. patents related to model train control systems. Chris.
Is that Bob Dylan?
Incorrect.
Is that Neil Young?
Correct. Young.
Yeah.
Has multiple patents, and he's a super train nerd, model train nerd, and invented a whole bunch of control systems for model train sets.
Wow. Cool.
And so there you go. Lots of celebrity inventors out there. Thank you, Jonathan, for your lovely, lovely quiz, and just super interesting. I can't believe you're an actual patent agent and inventor. Very neat. All right, well, that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot about U.S. presidents, demo NIMS, Disney characters, patents, international covers, and cocktails. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Check out our sponsor, Squarespace, at squarespace.com/goodjobbrain. And also, a quick note before we end the show, I was inspired by a listener. He sent us a lovely email and video of him paddling down the Yellowstone River while listening to Good Job Brain. So that inspired us, and we want to know where you guys listen to Good Job Brain. Send us photos or videos of where you are when you're listening to the show, whether if you're doing the morning commute in, I don't know, Tampa, Florida, or if you're hiking in Australia, or you're just having a nice family night at home. We want to know and show us, so you can send us a photo or a video. You can send it via email to gjb.podcast@gmail.com, or you can message or post on Facebook, or you can tweet us at Good Job Brain. I'm going to collect all of them, and we're going to put it in an interactive world map so we can check out all the listeners and the community, and I think it'd be a fun project.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
And that's our show, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.